When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me as always via Zoom is...
Sesame and Carta.
Now, do you spell that like you would think it's spelled, or is it spelled differently?
The way you would think it spells.
Okay.
Depending on how you think it should be spelled.
Well, I think it should be spelled M-A-T-T-H-E-W-H-A-A-S-E. Is that right?
Maybe.
Okay. Just checking. I
don't know. Don't put my name out there like that. No, it doesn't matter. Just say... Already know it.
It's already in the bio for the program.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Mr. Sesame, today on the show, we are covering the unsold TV pilot called Revenge of the Nerds, based on the film of the same name. This was released in 1991, or filmed in 1991, I should say. What did you think of it?
I don't know. I didn't really like it that much.
Yeah, as I say, this makes Big Bang Theory look like a masterpiece.
The jokes were flat, the... whole, like, geeky laugh, I guess that's supposed to be, like, a laugh that nerds make. Like, apparently, different groups of people, like, depending on their, like, interests, laugh differently, which I don't understand that. Okay, I mean, like, do people cry differently depending on, like, their personal interest? Or, like, I mean, how does that...
There are specific laughs. Like, if you're a Star Trek fan, you have a certain laugh. If you're a Star Wars fan, you have a different laugh. And then if you have a... I'm joking.
I didn't realize that, but apparently that was what the TV show was going for here.
Yeah, I mean, they did kind of have that in the movie, too, but not...
I didn't like the movies either, so...
It's been years since I've seen that rape-filled movie. So,
They made three movies... And then they decided to go do a TV show, too. It's like, didn't we really say all we needed to say with, like, the first one?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's actually four movies.
Okay, wow. So,
yeah.
That and a TV show based off the same characters, I guess, or maybe not, I don't know. And
I do know that there was a remake in development with Seth MacFarlane involved of the movie. But that was put on hold, I guess, back in, like, 2019. So, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Maybe they started to realize that, yeah, this kind of is played out.
And nobody wants it. I mean, it's like, nobody's asking for it. Like why, you know, like, nobody's, like, pining for Revenge of the Nerds. Like, I'm sorry. Like, it was just like
yeah, a, I mean... I guess maybe what they were thinking is the success of Big Bang Theory would make people in today's day and age want to watch some geeky or nerdy guys.
Yeah, but yeah, whatever. The whole point of the movie is different than the Big Bang Theory, but it's
yeah, no, I know it is. But what I'm saying is that maybe that they were just trying to milk off of that success.
Yeah.
And
probably, also, would you know nerd culture is like nothing at all? Like,
when you have famous celebrities who consider themselves nerds, it's kind of not really a thing anymore.
It's like the new mainstream. It's the new normal. So to not be a nerd is actually to be like rebellious. Like it's weird. Yeah.
You look at the success of, you know, it depends on what you define nerd by, because I think everybody's a nerd in some way. Anyways, you could be a nerd for sports. You could be a nerd for, you know, heavy metal music. You could be a nerd for opera. You could be a nerd for, you know, a TV show. You could, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, depends on what you consider a nerd. And with the success of things like, you know, Star Wars and Marvel and Star Trek and stuff like that, it's not really nerdy anymore. It's kind of mainstream. Yeah. So, what happens in this episode here, Sesame?
The two of the nerds are getting their dorm room set up. I don't remember their characters' names. One of them is
Lewis and Gilbert.
Okay, yeah. one of them is really, really excited that they have a poster of Mold on their wall or something. I don't know. And then the other guy is like, you know, he's like, oh, this is just like home or whatever. And then the other guy's like, no, this is better than home because we get to be free or blah, blah, whatever. And we're going to have girls here and all this kind of stuff. Like, okay, whatever. And then, the other guy is like really nervous around like girls. Like he can't even say the word woman, like, cause he gets too nervous. So he has to say like someone of another gender, which I guess is kind of progressive for 1991, but
which they didn't steal at all for Big Bang Theory and Raj.
No, of course not. Well, technically, Big Bang was stole it from.
That's what I'm saying. That's what Big Bang stole from this. Yeah.
Yeah, and then of course the jocks come in immediately because this is a 23-minute long show, and they're like carrying one of the other nerds, I guess, like some small kid who's like 14 or whatever. Which, you know, a young Sheldon situation going on there too as well.
My thing with that is would they let a 14-year-old live in a dorm?
No, they wouldn't.
On a campus, regardless of his...
No, they would at the very least have to have a guardian of some type that was, you know, legally allowed by the parents and the state, I imagine, to look after, you know, the child, probably have them stay at their house or apartment or whatever. No, you can't just have a kid just wandering around a college university campus, staying in a dorm room with people that aren't like siblings or family members or whatever. But no, again, whatever. And then like, there's like the other nerd is like got long hair. And I guess he's supposed to be like the rocker nerd or like the
gross out nerd. His name is Booger. I mean, these are all characters from the movie.
I see. Yeah, he looks nothing like Booger. But, no, okay.
he's got blonde hair and everything. So people know Rob Stone, who people may know from Mr. Belvedere, played Lewis in this. An actor named Lightfield Lewis played Gilbert Lowe. Grant Gelt played Harold Wormser, the 14-year-old. Robbie Rist, who people may know as Cousin Oliver, played Booger. So that's what we got so far.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of shaky on the character. So
yeah,
he's like, you know, an idiot nerd, I guess. I don't know. And the jocks, you know, are basically saying they're going to take over the dorm room because they're allowed to for whatever reason. And like they start throwing like the telescope and all the members of the nerd crew outside the window, causing physical harm and violence on the campus. And then they drop Booger from the roof. So that's another attempt at murder, which, you know, has gone unaccounted for.
But they're jocks, so they get away with it. I mean,
I guess so. I mean, it's 1991. And then,
well, you know, jocks that get away with, raping women this day and age. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, not much has changed. I mean, they bring in all the money, so, you know, they get to do whatever they want. So they go downstairs to, like, you know, to eat or whatever. I don't know. And then they see, you know, a bunch of cheerleaders, of course. And then, like, you know, Booger thinks, like, he can get with any of them because he's a moron. I don't know. And then they get the idea, oh, well, we should have these guys pledge for the fraternity that just threw them out the window and stole the dorm room.
It's not suspicious at all.
Like, not 30 seconds earlier. And they're like, oh, yeah, I guess that was all part of the hazing. Well, no, because hazing comes after you start pledging. You know, like, you don't, like, hazing doesn't begin when people just decide to steal your dorm room and throw you out the window. Like, it doesn't work that way. But you figure that nerds, i.e. people with high IQs, would, you know, be able to follow the laws of cause and effect. But I guess not these nerds. So I don't know. And then, so they start pledging. And there's a bunch of dumb hazing scenes that are not funny at all. You got the big guy, Jock, is wearing some weird, goofy little helmet thing while he's, like, cracking eggs on the people's faces, I guess. And they're, like, spraying them with water, asking them if they've ever had sex before. And if they lie, they keep spraying them with the water.
Wormser says at one point, he's like, I don't even know if I can.
Yeah, which I'm not even sure, okay, what that means. Okay, and then it's like, this, maybe he's got a personal problem, I don't know. But, you know, maybe go consult your doctor about that.
Talking about his age and saying that, you know, I don't know.
Oh, probably the joke, yeah. Okay. And then it went over my head. But so they keep spraying them with the water, you know, which again, is interesting if you think about it, because this might have been a sort of allusion to, you know, or a subconscious kind of thing, because right after all of this, you know, it's revealed that the whole thing was, like, a prank that they, you know, weren't accepted. So they're, like, trying to, like, find any fraternity that will accept them. And then they finally go to a black fraternity. But they're, like, the guy's, like, hosing them down with water, which is what the police did to black people back in the 60s when they were protesting for equal rights. And the jocks, let's face it, probably, you know, a lot of them probably going to end up being cops. So, like, it's like, oh, well, this is just like a recreation or like a stepping stone to what they're going to be doing to, like, protesters later on in life, you know, and when their football careers inevitably don't succeed and stuff like that.
I think you've thought more deeply about this right now than the writers did writing the whole 30 minutes of the show.
I don't think they thought about it either. I think your subconscious mind thought of it. They're like, yeah. Hey, well, you know, these people are violent and they've got power and they've got, you know, physical strength and they've got, you know, a lack of empathy for others. So they're going to treat people badly when they have this sense of power. And then that's exactly what the police were doing back in the 1960s with the water cannons. So anyway, so then right after that, though, right after the spraying down session, which is reminiscent of the 1960s protest movement, they then go to wanting to pledge for the black fraternity. I forgot their name, called the Accolades. There's not the Accolades, something. And then
The
black fraternity. Oh, forgot their name.
Black fraternity is the Trilams.
That's right, Trilams, which apparently nobody is in.
They have chapters at different universities, just not at the university that the nerds are going to.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So what's the how?
Because that's how it, like, ends in the movie too. They join the Trilams and they start the first chapter of the Trilams. And the joke is the fact that they're all white guys, basically, mostly white guys in this mostly black, or this all-black fraternity.
Right, but if there's no one, how are they paying a guy to just sit around when there's no one to actually, I mean, that's a weird job to have, right?
Well, I don't really know how fraternities work, so it might be a thing where they actually have that as part of the budget of a fraternity.
I guess, because it's just some guy just sitting behind a desk, and there's nothing to, like, organize or look after, because there's no people to, you know, to manage.
They were at the national headquarters for the fraternity, not, like, a local chapter.
Oh, okay.
So, basically, they were trying to... Basically, what they were doing is trying to start that fraternity at this university.
Okay. So, they traveled for this?
Probably.
That's ridiculous. They actually... Okay, well, that makes it worse, actually. I thought they just went to, like, a certain building at the school. They actually traveled probably out of state for this. Whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, the guys, like, you know, they got to have a bunch of weird, like, stereotypes of, like, white people trying to act like what they think black people act like, which is, like, a form of racism in and of itself. But, okay, whatever. 1991. And, like, they're doing, like, the Arsenio Hall thing, I guess, like, where they used to, like, do something with their fist, like, or I don't remember, something like that.
Yeah, the woot 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 thing. Yeah,
I'm like, this is so cringeworthy. Like, to like, I'm hard to watch this. Like, it's like really hard to watch this. And like, the guy who like runs like I guess like the national fraternity, whatever, he makes this other guy be like their, I don't know, leader, whatever you call it.
Their advisor or whatever.
Advisor. So then, like, they go have to set up, you know, a house to live in. It's like some junky house that they have to, like, paint and, you know, oh my God, this is such a bad show. And like, someone throws a brick through the window, and they're like, leave this fraternity or else, or whatever, I don't know, I don't remember. And then, and like, at first I thought it was going to be like a racist thing, you know, like, oh, this black fraternity just started. No, it wasn't anything like that. You know, that would have actually, like, you know, brought a little bit of, like, depth, you know, to the story. But, you know, they wouldn't go that way. So, no, it was just the jocks didn't want them to have their own fraternity, I guess. And so that's what that was about. That was the whole scene for that. What else happened?
I don't know. You want to take a quick break and we'll talk about the rest of it here after the break?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back. I'm going to go watch a couple episodes of Big Bang Theory to get this show out of my head. Wait, would that be a bad thing?
Well, yeah.
We'll be right back. No
Outlet Live. Hey, I'm Jay Remy, host of No Outlet Live. If you're in a podcast that explores any and everything, check us out. We stream anywhere you listen or watch podcasts, or just type No Outlet Live, one word, in your Google search bar to find the show. Live Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook. No Outlet Live, your road to boredom ends here. Do you like Tessa? Do you think this will be a date that can last?
Well, she's not very articulate.
And just like Cousin Oliver, we're back to Runa television series. Anyway, so, wait, sorry. Sorry, Robbie Roost, if you're listening to this. Anyway, so, so basically, okay, so like you said, they move into this house, which is like a crime scene, basically. And,
that's right. There was like a whole,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that. Okay,
yeah, they're, like, doing experiments on a hamster in this house. For no reason.
Yeah.
Which Booger thinks is cool. God. When he sees, like, what he thinks is a dead hamster.
Yeah, sorry, that character just, like, pisses me off the most out of all of them. Like,
yeah. That's badly written, totally. So PT is the name of the guy that's their advisor. He basically says that there's no hope for them at all because they can't, you know, defend themselves against the jocks and they need to be cool and strong and all that shit. And then they created some kind of devices or something, which I don't really get. That
how it could work, yeah.
Yeah, that somehow messed with the hearing of the jocks, and they were able to fight them off by doing that.
I made them like do involuntary bodily movements too. Like, yeah, I'm sure a bunch of freshmen in college have figured this out with like a little remote control thingy.
Yeah.
With no like app equipment or anything.
Yeah, and so yeah, that's basically how it ends.
Yeah, I mean, literally, that's it. They're in the house, and then Booger, being like his moron self, is like, cool. That's the other thing about Booger I can't stand. Like, throughout this whole episode, he's like completely oblivious to like he's gotten over. What do you say it? Like, he's overly confident, but it's not because he's actually confident. It's because he's just oblivious to like everything. Like, he's one of these people that doesn't know that other people don't like him. Is what it is. So like, that's not really confidence, because like, you're just like ignorant, you know. And so he's like, ugh. Like, there's this one scene where I'm sorry if you're Facebook friends with the guy, but there's this one scene where, like, they get kicked, you know, they got kicked out, and there's, you know, there's like a bunch of like notes on like the bulletin board about like, you know, people looking for roommates. And he's like, oh man, our housing problem's gonna be fixed. And he like blows his nose on one of the pieces of paper. Like, who are the lucky people that are gonna be my roommate or whatever? So everyone,
for no
like,
reason whatsoever, he blows his nose too. It just didn't make sense.
Stupid. And then it's just like, so everyone takes like their information off, because like, oh, I don't want to live with this guy. And then like later on, he like goes over to like the cheerleaders table. It's such a cringe, like just such a cringe scene. And he's like being disgusting there, like eating food or sloppily, or I don't even remember what he's doing. And it's just like, again, it's like you think like, oh well, you know, here's a guy who's gonna go and like, you know, introduce himself to like, you know, a table full of cheerleaders. You know, that takes a certain, you know, level of confidence and courage. But no, not Booger, because it's not because it's courage or confidence, it's just because he's stupid. And it's like watching that just like made me sad, where it's like, oh, I kind of know what's going on here. He's not actually confident, he just doesn't know what's going on, and that just makes it worse. Like, it's one thing to get rejected after putting yourself out there, but like to see someone like just completely oblivious to like the reality around them, it just like, and plus just like his whole getup, like his stupid long blonde hair and dumb t-shirts he wore. God, I hate that character so much. Anyway,
also we need to mention that the main jock is played by Sean Kanan, who people may know from, I think it's Karate Kid 2 or 3, one of the two.
Oh, that is part 3.
Yeah.
Sean Kanan. He played Mike Barnes in Karate Kid 3. Yeah.
And may know him from that, or from, he's been on Bold and the Beautiful, and I think Young and the Restless, and other things, and he was also, for a long time, AJ Quartermain on General Hospital is what I know him most from.
It's awesome. I've heard rumors that he might be in Cobra Kai Season 5. That would be awesome.
That would be cool. He's a really good actor, actually.
Yeah.
Sadly, he's in this. actually sad that anybody's in this. I feel bad for the whole cast. And the crew and everybody involved in it. But, you know, if they made money, maybe cool. which they probably got paid for acting, you know, whatever. He's a really good actor. Nice guy too, from everything that I've read about him, and I'm friends with him on Facebook. I've never talked to him really, but he seems like a cool guy. So
yeah, I see some interviews of him. He seems pretty chill and happy to talk to you, not feel like it's an obligation or whatever type of thing.
If you happen to be listening to this, you want to be on the show, Sean, let us know. Anyway, so the yeah, that's basically how it ends and everything. Do you want to hear some reviews from the Internet Movie Database, Matt?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Here's the first one from Martin Haffer, our good friend who we've read several reviews from on these types of shows. He gives it a 2 out of 10. And this is back in June 25th of 2020. So not that long ago, really, in the scheme of things. The laugh track only draws attention to the fact that it isn't funny. Revenge of the Nerds was a very lowbrow film that, despite all its success, was fun to watch at least once. However, it spurred on many unwanted sequels, as well as this attempt at a weekly TV series, all of which I just as soon forget. So, in the case of this proposed TV series, why didn't I like it? The biggest reason is that the pilot offered no improvements over the original film, and mostly it was just a repeat of much of what you see in the first portion of the film. But to make it worse, the writing really disappointed, and the lame jokes were accompanied by something not in the movie, an ever-present and poorly used laugh track.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything I liked about the pilot? Well, the only thing I liked... I liked seeing Robbie Wrist playing Booger, as Wrist was famous for being the character that showed the Brady Bunch had jumped the shark, Cousin Oliver. Now, I'm not saying Wrist was wonderful in Revenge of the Nerds, but it was nice seeing him trying something else in this... in his post-child actor phase of life. Wrist, you also may know as one of the voices of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the Turtles movies, so we'll give him that, you know, so he did have...
Oh, okay.
Yes. I believe he was Michelangelo.
yeah, his voice did sound familiar, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, next one, it says a 1 out of 10 from DDT21977 on April 1st of 2016. The only laughter will be canned. Like the other reviewer on here, I also have the DVD of Revenge of the Nerds, which contains this unaired episode. During the 24-minute nightmare, there is not one single creative thought, joke, or performance to be found. If the creators of this fiasco thought they were cooking up a successful American comedy show, they forgot one important ingredient. Humor. The jokes, I use that word lightly, are ripoffs from the movie. The only original comedy that made its way into here is as funny as getting a diagnosis of brain cancer from your doctor. The head-shaking, eye-rolling, and disbelief that people actually sat down, wrote this, filmed it, edited it, and presented it, this package, to someone wearing a suit in a television studio will start as soon as the opening credits begin. They use every stereotype associated with nerds as a springboard for a joke that will sadly fall flat. The only people who will find humor in this will be someone who still thinks that Santa and the Easter Bunny are real. If you have, or at some point, get the Revenge of the Nerds DVD, check it out. You at least have a bottom to your barrel of horrible television shows that you can say you have seen. So, yeah. Here's one last one here. It's like, it's a 1 out of 10. Would rate 0 if possible. This is from Kevster Rog 2001, back in April 19th of 2014. I own the panty raid edition of the movie, so I have this pilot. Viewed twice, was sorry both times. I saw very little resemblance to the far superior movie. No wonder it was unaired. I just wish it was never seen and never allowed to be seen by anyone. It is that horrible. This is more benefiting of the genre of parody, but that would do little to improve it. This TV pilot needs to be burned, and then the ashes need to be burned again. Then those ashes need to be put in a sealed urn. The urn melted, placed into a steel vault, and then buried 100 feet into the ground. I wouldn't even try to force my worst enemy to watch this joke of a pilot.
Wow.
This person really hated this.
So much anger.
But they viewed it twice.
I know exactly. Why would you watch it twice? I mean, seriously.
Like, did you watch it once and think, did I just see what I thought I saw? Like, maybe I'll try it again.
Yeah, maybe he got, like, really high or something and then watched it. And, like, he couldn't really, like, concentrate on what he was watching. So then, like, you know, after he sobered up, he's like, oh, maybe that was just my mental state at the time. It's like, nope, still bad.
Yeah.
And, God, I mean, seriously, it's true, though. Like, why, like, who thought of this, and why did they think it was a good idea, and how did it get to the point where it actually got made? Like,
well, there's this thing called, you know, milking a dead horse. And
I know, but like,
so I'm thinking mainly they just realized, hey, maybe we can make money. And but it's so rare that a TV, like we've talked about, like when we talked about the Fast Times pilot, it's so rare for a movie based on a TV series to actually recapture or expand on the what was good about the movie.
Yeah, I mean, Fast Times, you know, is like a welcome fresh of breath air or fresh breeze in comparison to this. Yeah, you know,
and that wasn't great either. So it's
I was making fun of that.
Yeah, I know.
At least that was somewhat okay. For one thing, it had a plot other than and it actually had like a set. Like, they weren't just, like, in rooms. That's the other thing. They never went outside at all during this.
But to be fair, most three-camera sitcoms kind of do that anyways.
Oh, well. Yeah. At least Fast Times had at least, like, one scene out on the beach or whatever.
And it was and in Fast Times, it wasn't a three-camera setup. It was a, you know, one-camera sitcom. So it's, you know, actually more expensive to shoot. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know, which is interesting. They got a bigger budget than this. Yeah, I do not recommend this to anyone ever for any reason.
No.
Not as a joke, not as ironic, not as...
I mean, like, I might be going off on a stretch here, but I was thinking if we could somehow capture Putin and do the thing that they did to Alex in Clockwork Orange where they prop open his eyes and make him watch something.
Yeah.
Maybe we could put this on, and then maybe he, I don't know, will just kill himself.
Yeah, it'll just crack. That's actually a really good idea. I mean, that's what they did to Noriega back in the 80s. They just played really loud music outside of his mansion, I think, so he could just make it anymore. Or at least that's like the sort of the mythology. I'm not sure if that's like 100% true or not, but like that's sort of like the...
So I'm thinking some of the bad TV shows and movies that we've reviewed on this podcast.
Yeah,
they should just play those for you know these dictators around the world.
Yeah, like someone should kidnap Putin and then or abduct him and then I don't give a shit if I say this or not. He's he's an enemy of the United States for one thing, so they're not going to give a shit if I'm talking about them. Make him watch this kind of like a loop. but mix it up a little bit because, you know, after a while you sort of get desensitized to the same images. So you kind of play this like maybe 5 times in a row and then we'll switch it up to like Beethoven's Fifth or something like that.
Or like Jingle All the Way Two or something.
Yeah. And then we'll do a thing where we'll play like 5 movies all at the same time. So the audio and video is just getting mixed in together and it's just like, just to make him go insane, you know?
Yeah, I like this idea. Yeah. Or we can just send an assassin to kill him. Anyway, so...
but then you also got to take out his inner circle as well.
Oh, so that's true. You know, yeah.
Yeah. It's not just a one-man show. So.
Yeah, it's true. It's more complicated than we think. Anyway,
I like how we're just openly talking about killing politicians from other countries. Like it's like a regular conversation to have and to record.
I don't think anybody will care about that. Anyway, so tune in for the Revenge of the Nerds, review. Stay for the, hope for humanity. Anything else you want to say here, Matt, before we wrap things up?
No, just if anyone's listening who has the means, just get on that idea with the forced TV watching.
And if you're listening to NATO,
I mean, this might be like, you say you can't do a no-fly zone, but maybe you could do a no... Oh, I can't think of a good rhyme, but
no-cry zone? Anyway, so the...
I was going to say no-fly zone, but like kind of like, oh, you got your fly open, but that doesn't make sense.
There's no such thing as a no-nerd zone. And, But, get on that, anybody. I mean, Zelensky was in a better TV series than this. So,
exactly. And he's a president. He was in a movie too. And then,
he
was
on he had his own TV series.
He actually had his own production company as well.
Yeah, he had a TV series where he played the president before he was president.
It's so fucked up. And he actually ran as a joke, kind of.
Yeah.
Like Trump did, and he actually became president. But the difference between him and Trump is that he's actually not hiding in a bunker, when an actual war is going on, whereas Trump went and hid in his bunker when there's just a few protesters outside the White House. There's a little bit of difference, but
But anyways, make sure you guys all check out our TeePublic. You can buy some cool shirts there. Maybe we'll make some more based on this episode. You never know. And, check out our Patreon. You can help support us there. Share the show with your friends. That's really important. Share it with like 3 friends and tell them to share with 3 friends.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the best way to get us out there. Also, check out all of our social medias, our Twitter, our TikTok, our Facebook, our Boogie Boo, and our Doggy Dog, and what else do we have?
all that stuff. Also, check out our BitChute channel and our Rumble channel where we talk about right wing conspiracy
theories. Check us out on Friendster MySpace and
old Netflix, where you actually
order
DVDs to come into the mail, and
if you want, you can get the show on Reel to Reel, and and 8-track.
Daily Motion, of course. No,
yeah.
Well, that's where we saw the Fast Times.
Yeah, it's true. So it's not a bad
thing. I actually went and did some research on Daily Motion after we did the episode. I had thought that Daily Motion came out before YouTube, but they actually came out like 3 weeks after YouTube was started. Wow. Like, it was like literally almost the same exact time.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, folks, be safe out there. Be good to each other. Wear a condom. And bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.